This morning I want to talk about confidence. When we face situations, having the confidence that we're going to make it through. And the danger comes when we forget who our confidence should be in. If I have confidence in my own abilities, that will only take me so far. And maybe that will deceive me and get me in bigger trouble. But if I have confidence that it's the Lord who's bringing me through, then I can face things. We talked about that. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Leaning on the everlasting arms. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Thinking about these things. Thinking about who God is. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. And we know that and we can quote that and we're good with that. And then every once in a while things just don't come out the way we think they ought to. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Maybe we should have done this a little different. Maybe I should have done this instead of done that, rather than trusting that God is the one in charge. Rather than trusting God is the one who gives us strength. Rather than facing whatever comes. I was thinking just this morning, actually just a very short while ago, I was thinking about Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three Hebrew children. And I remember their answer to Nebuchadnezzar. As they said, I love the way the King James words it. We are not careful to answer you in this matter, O King. Whoa! Hang on a minute. That sounds a little disrespectful to my English ears, but we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us even from your hands. He's able to deliver us even from the fiery furnace. But even if He doesn't, we still will not bow. We still will not bow. Even if God does not deliver me from this situation, I am still going to do what's right because I know it's what God's called me to do. That's confidence. That is knowing that no matter what, God has told me to do this, this is what I'm going to do. And if He delivers me, praise God. And if He doesn't, praise God. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. I get to see Him a little quicker. Praise the Lord. Wednesday night, I think it was. Might have been the last Wednesday night before we left the last time. But I don't remember the conversation. But I got out the book, Driven by Eternity. John Bevere talks in there about how this life that we live in the scope of eternity is not even a big enough blip to, you know, it's less than a blink. You know, in fact, it's when you go dividing something by infinity, it's, you know, non-existent. But it's the time we have. And our future in heaven is determined by what we do in this time frame. Do we accept the Lord? Are we obedient to His ways? Do we do what God has called us to do? Do we show the love of God? Are we lights in the midst of the darkness? Are we doing what God has called us to do? And our obedience in this short span of time. Oh, it's 70 years. Oh, it's 120 years. Oh, however long it is. Seems so long, but not compared to eternity. And our eternity, part of it is determined by what we do in this life. So we can have an impact that's far greater than anything we can see or do in this time frame. So there's just that confidence of knowing that God is the one bringing us through. That God is the one taking us through the circumstances. In 2 Samuel 22, beginning with verse 9. There's a Psalm of David. in the middle of 2 Samuel. It says, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. By you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." God, you are the one who's able to make me stand no matter what my circumstances are. I don't have confidence in me. I have confidence in God's ability to make me stand. I have God's confidence in God's ability to bring me through. If I trust on my own strength, you know, I am going to fall short. There's another psalm that says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are cast down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright."
That passage
started
with 29.
What's that?
That passage started with 29,
not 9. Not 9? Okay. That was 2 Samuel 22, 29 to 31. Okay. Praise God. "Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God." Remember, I've talked about what name means. You know, we think of, you know, Bill, Fred, Andrew as name. The word from Hebrew and the word from Greek that are translated to name mean character, honor, and authority. So when we say some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember who God is. We will remember how God has proved himself every time. And in relying on God, we can face whatever comes. Relying on him, we can get through whatever happens. In Isaiah chapter 30, beginning with verse 15, God's speaking to the children of Israel, telling them, y'all need to straighten up. Remember when Isaiah was the prophet? He was the prophet for 4 or 5 kings. Uzziah was king when he began. Because Isaiah 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He began prophesying. He began being a prophet to the nations when Uzziah was the king. But he was the prophet when Hezekiah was king. When Sennacherib and the Assyrians had came up against Israel, had taken away the northern kingdom, and had come down against Jerusalem, and can't remember the general's name, Rakshasa or something, I don't remember his name. Sennacherib's general, Rabshakeh, was his name. Came up and had that letter and sent the letter in and the letter saying, don't trust your gods because all these other people trusted in their gods and they didn't work either. And don't let Hezekiah convince you because your God is not going to be able to deliver you. And they took the letter and they took it into the temple and they laid it out before the altar and said, "Lord, look what these people have said." And the prophet said, "Don't worry about it. Come tomorrow, you won't even be able to find them." Trusting in God, having confidence in who God is. But here, chapter 30, beginning with verse 15, talking about the Lord God talking to the children of Israel, and he says something very, very, very important in the midst of this. Of course, you can't just pull out the one scripture. You have to get a bit of the context. Starting with verse 15, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. And you said, 'No, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of 5 you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain, as a banner on a hill. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait on him." What does this passage say? God said, wait, trust, relax, be confident in me, and I'll take care of you. But you didn't want to do it my way. You wanted to do it your way. So because you say, no, we will flee on horses, he says, go ahead. Yes, you will. And he says, but we'll flee on swift horses. Well, those pursuing you will also be swift. But dropping down to verse 18, it says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. God will let us run to the end of our strength so that we will stop running and going and say, I give up, God. That he may be gracious to you. He said, I am the Lord, I am the God, and I change not. The same promises, the same way he dealt with Israel, he deals with us. He'll let us run till I can't go no more, God. He let me do it. I had made such a mess of my life, I finally broke down and said, I cannot do this. I need you. I know you're real. I need you. And when I turned around, he was right there. He let me run so that he could be gracious to me. He lets us fumble and fall so that we can learn that he is our rest. He is our strength. In quietness and confidence, and confidence would be your strength. But you would not. You didn't want to do it that way. Praise God. That's why Scripture tells us that all Scripture is good for instruction in righteousness. You know, Scripture is good because it applies. It doesn't just apply to Israel back then in those days. It applies to me. It applies to us corporately. Scripture applies. The Word of God is eternal. In 1 John 4, we were just doing this in Bible study recently. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 12, says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior to the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. John says, we know that God's love is real. We know God has given us his Holy Spirit. We know he has changed us. And we know that as we love one another, we reflect the love of God. We let the world know that God is in us. But also we have that confidence in ourselves. This is evidence that God is living in us. Having that confidence of who God is. Not only who he is, but who he is in us. Who we are in him. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask whatever you will of the Father, and he will do it. If we abide in the word, if we abide in the Lord. But that confidence of knowing who God is, that God does not change, that he is faithful in all of his ways, that whatever we face it knowing that God loves us and God is at work in us. Job 19. You remember Job. Nice guy. Richest guy in all the East. Had everything going for him. Had all those kids, 7 sons, 3 daughters. Really nice wife. Rich. Well known. In fact, God said, have you considered my servant Job, that there's no one like him? Even God testifying about him. The devil says, yeah, that's just because you're protecting him. Let me take care of it. And God let the devil come against Job and all his possessions, all his family. Job still wouldn't curse God. Devil comes again. God says, have you considered my servant Job? Well, that's just because, you know, a man will give all he has in change for his help. You know, you're just still protecting him. God says, touch him, just don't kill him. And he goes on, and the book of Job talks about that, and talks about his three friends that came in and sat down with him, and for 7 days they just sat there in silence. And that was about as far as that could go. Then they started saying, you did it wrong. You're a sinner, just confess and get it over with. In chapter 19, Job says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my sin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job is sitting in a pile of ashes. He's got boils on his skin. He's taken broken pottery just to scratch himself. He is in such misery and such agony. His friends around him saying, "It's all your fault. You're the wicked sinner. You've just been hiding it from everybody, but God sees." And Job says, "I know my Redeemer lives. I know I will see him in my flesh. Even if my skin is gone, I will see him with my own eyes." Job says, "I know." He said, "I wish my words were written, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever, so that everybody could see this. I know my Redeemer lives." Whatever we go through is temporary. Only two options. Forever, temporary. That's the two options. You know? I tell people, you'll either get over it or you'll die with it on your mind, because, you know, options are limited. There's only so many options. Whatever we go through, good, bad, indifferent, it is temporary. What is eternal is God. What is eternal is His Holy Spirit. What is eternal is the work that He has done in us. That whatever happens, we have confidence. We can face whatever comes. I can face uncertain days because He lives. That's why I picked those songs, because they fit. It tells us that no matter what happens, we know that God is real. We know that God is at work in us. We know that He is gracious. "We are not careful to answer you, O King. My God is able. But even if He doesn't, I'm still going to do what He's called me to do." That's a confidence. That's a declaration of who God is. My confidence is not in me. My confidence is not in the situation. My confidence is in knowing who God is. That He is faithful. Final passage, 2 Timothy 1, beginning with verse 8. Paul tells Timothy, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and the grace which He has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to the which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed in Him until that day." No matter what happens, I trust God. No matter what happens, I believe His ways are right. Drop back to verse 9. Says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to works, but according to His own purpose and the grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." God's purpose is at work in us, even when things don't look good, even when things are difficult, even when it's a bad diagnosis, even when it's a broken relationship, even when there's pain involved, even when there's turmoil going on around us, even when we've lost a job or just the world seems to be falling apart around us. No matter what happens, God's grace is sufficient. God's mercy is at work, and God is still answering prayers. When we go back into the genealogies of Jesus, and you find the king who was declared in Scripture to have been the worst king in history. Written in the Bible. Written in the Bible, he was the worst. Since we know the Bible is true, it's the inspired word of God. We look at all the other wicked kings there have been in history. Sorry, Manasseh was worse. We just weren't around for it. We just don't have a lot of declarations, a lot of outside documents saying how bad he was. But believe me, if God says he was the worst king ever, he was the worst king ever. But God also says that in his latter days, he repented. In his latter days, he turned back to the Lord. In his latter days, he turned around because God was at work. And God is at work. God is at work when things don't look like it. God is at work when everything seems to be falling apart. And we may not have all the answers this side of eternity. But my Bible has a promise in it. It says, one day I will know even as also I am known. One day I'm going to have the answers I don't have now. But I can trust that God is God. And I can trust that God is holy and righteous. And I can trust that He knows exactly what's going on. And even though I don't see how this stuff can possibly come together and work together for good, His Word promises me that. And I can stand in confidence knowing who God is. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And with my eyes, I will see Him. I know. Praise God. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the confidence that comes from knowing You. The confidence in knowing, Lord, that You are, that You don't change, that You are faithful, that You are wondrous. Father, that You do see the end from the beginning, that You are at work in us, that You do have a plan and purpose for us, as according to Jeremiah, where it says, You plan for a future and a hope. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are at work. And even, Father, when the circumstances are difficult, seems to be turmoil on every side, seems to have no way of coming out to a good resolution. We know, Father, that You are still at work, even in the time of pain, even in the time of tears. You have still promised to cause all things to work together for good to them who love You, to them who are the called according to Your purpose. And You have demonstrated Your faithfulness in our lives, demonstrated Your faithfulness through Scripture, demonstrated Your faithfulness in the lives of others that we know. And You are a God who doesn't change, and we can thank You for that. We are so grateful, Lord, for Your love and guidance and for the confidence that You give us, the confidence that comes from knowing who You are. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the character, honor, and authority of the Lord our God. They may be cast down, but we are risen and stand upright because You are the one who makes us to stand. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.